those Sundays where all of the readings are unique and kind of a challenge. And so today we'll be focusing on the epistle reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, God's warning to Christians, be careful so that you don't fall. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His word today. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's take a moment, notice and greet our brothers and sisters in Christ, a little spread out, especially on the end. If you don't know who you're sitting next to, take a moment, find out. In Jesus, we are one. Let's greet each other in the name of the Lord. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings that You give us. We thank You for the gift of eternal life. Heavenly Father, give us that assurance that because Jesus has died and risen from the dead for us, our sins are forgiven. Our salvation is secure. Teach us rightly to hear Your word and to follow You. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to give us life and life to the full. Amen. Amen. Hymn 703.
How can I Matins, page 219. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Lord. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O
Son, and the Holy Spirit. We turn to the words of our introit as printed on our bulletin insert. We chant them together.
Thank you.
may be seated. Office hymn number 730. 730.
A reading from 2 Samuel chapter 22. With the merciful you show yourself merciful, and with the blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you deal purely, and with the crooked you make yourself seem torturous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge, and has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer, and set me secure on the heights. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. But these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. A reading from St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So, summoning his master debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil.' He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord,
love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the epistle reading we heard a moment ago from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, especially these words. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I think the first time that I heard about it was in the early 1980s. There was a Presbyterian pastor down in Florida, and he set the world on fire with a book and a program that he wrote. Evangelism Explosion. D. James Kennedy taught people how to go door to door and talk to people about Jesus. Lutherans, about 15 or 20 years later, which is usually the case, tried to pick up on the program and turn it into a Lutheran program, Dialogue Evangelism, and then with a catchy follow-up, Dialogue Evangelism 2. People were trained to knock on the door and to ask a simple question. Maybe you've had this happen to you. The question is, if you were to die tonight, would you be absolutely sure that you would go to heaven? If you were to die tonight, would you be absolutely sure that you would go to heaven? And then based on the answer or the response, the person would follow up. Begs a question for us today. Are you sure? Are you sure that you will go to heaven? If you are sure, why are you sure? But maybe there's a question behind the question. Is it possible for anyone to be sure? That's the real question that confronts us today. Does God want you to be sure of your salvation? Absolutely yes. He wants you to be sure and certain. Absolutely sure and certain. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I hold them in my hand. Nothing or no one can snatch them out." St. John records the most famous passage in all of Scripture. "For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." God wants you to be sure and certain of your salvation based on the person and work of Jesus. So, what do we do with Bible passages like we have before us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? God's Word, and all of God's Word, the Bible, is true. What do we do with Bible passages that say something like, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall"? Is it possible for a Christian to fall from faith? Absolutely. Absolutely. This is not a mistake or a contradiction in Holy Scriptures. Both of these are true. God wants you to be sure of your salvation, and it is possible to fall from faith. There is a very, very popular teaching in much of evangelical Christianity. It was really started by John Calvin. And this teaching, trying to deal with these seeming contradictions in Scripture, this teaching basically says, once you are saved, you cannot fall away. Once saved, always saved. And there's kind of a strange Roman Catholic, maybe even Lutheran, twist on this false teaching that says, once baptized, always saved. As if someone who believes once or is baptized can never fall away. This is supposed to give you great security. Supposed to give you great security because, well, I was baptized. Oh, I believed as a child. It's supposed to give you great comfort and security with regard to your salvation. But aside from ignoring large chunks of Scripture and the fact that it simply is not true, it does just the opposite. Instead of giving you comfort and assurance with regard to your salvation, it puts you in doubt. You see, sometimes people who are secure in their faith and think that they cannot fall away, they're given a license to sin. I can do whatever I want. I can't fall away. I can sin all I want. I can't lose my faith. I can be as big a sinner, as big a scoundrel as I want because I'm going to go to heaven anyway. This false sense of security is very, very dangerous. Again, ignoring large chunks of Scripture. God does care about how a Christian lives. Should I go on sinning so that grace may abound? St. Paul writes, no. So, the person sins and sins and sins and uses the excuse, it doesn't matter because I'm already saved and going to heaven. And then after a while, they begin to question, well, if I'm really saved, why would I be doing all these things? Maybe I'm not really saved after all. Maybe I better answer the altar call one more time. Maybe I better give my heart to Jesus. Salvation, which is supposed to be sure and certain, is now in more doubt than it has ever been. People use the excuse, well, if someone who was a believer falls into some big sin, they weren't really a believer after all. They just pretended. Which also ignores Jesus' words with regard to the parable of the sower. Some seed falls on the shallow ground and it grows. It's alive. And then, because of the heat of the day, it dies. My friends, it does no good to ignore large portions of God's Word. It does no good to try to reason and logic away the clear words of Scripture. God wants you to be sure and certain of your salvation. And it is possible for the Christian to fall from faith. Both of these are true. We turn to the words of our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. What things is the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit writing about? The verses previous. For I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. God teaches us to look at our history, our salvation history, the history of the Exodus. God's miraculous deliverance. The people had been in bondage and captivity for more than 400 years. God sends Moses, mighty deliverer, and through Moses, God performs many miracles. Pharaoh lets the people go. They pass through the Red Sea on dry ground as the nostrils of God blow open the water. They are accompanied by the spiritual rock, which is Christ. They were baptized into Christ as they passed through the Red Sea waters. They were delivered by God. They clung to the promises of God. They were believers. And what happened? They were overthrown in the wilderness. Overthrown in the wilderness by some mighty army? By some great military force? No. They were overthrown in the wilderness by their haughty pride and their obsession with sin. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. God records these things for us in Holy Scripture so that we would be warned. We would be warned not to become haughty, prideful in our faith, and think that we are such super Christians that we cannot fall. What kind of things? Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We all know about the golden calf from our earliest Sunday school days. Moses is up on the mountain receiving the holy law of God, and what did the people do? They begged Aaron to fashion for themselves a golden calf, and they worshiped it, and they bowed down and thanked it for delivering them. And they committed all kinds of sins and drunken revelry. Could never happen to us, right? We're way too sophisticated to fashion for ourselves golden calves. No, our idols take on a completely different shape. They may look like a dollar sign or a bank account or a retirement portfolio. They may look like a time clock and a check stub from our work. They may look like a report card or a grade point average. They may look like a house, a car, a boat, a vacation, a pigskin. We're much more significantly better, right? Idolatry was not their only sin. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. It's hard to watch a television show or go to a movie or open up a book or your browser on your website without being tempted to sexual sin. We know that God's word says you shall not commit adultery, and that God's gift of sexuality is to be reserved for the marriage bond. And yet we tolerate and sometimes even promote every sexual aberration and deviancy that we can possibly imagine. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. We remember that account from Moses 21. The people whined and grumbled against God because things weren't going exactly as they planned. They didn't want to listen to God and His Word. And so they blamed Moses. They blamed God. They blamed the church. They blamed everyone and everything except themselves. And so because God loved them, He sent poisonous serpents to bite them, to bring them to repentance. My friends, these things happened really in history. And God is telling us today that they happened as examples. Examples for you and for me. Huh. What do we do with these examples? Well, God says, now these things happened to them as examples, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. There are two great truths that God wants us to know and know well. First of all, God punishes sin. Can we all be agreed with this? God punishes sin. Second great truth, we are all sinners. Wow. We have a bit of a problem here, don't we? God punishes sin, and we are sinners. What God's word is calling for us now is that we are to repent. We are to repent of our sin. We are to repent of our idolatry. We are to repent of our obsession with sexual deviancy. We are to repent of our grumbling and complaining against God and His Word. This is what God desires from us. But the world teaches something completely different. The world says, you don't have to repent. The world says, if you don't like what God's Word says, just ignore it. Leave the church. Talk bad against it. Create your own church. Create your own spirituality. Go ahead. Yield to every kind of temptation. If it feels good, do it. You are free. And free to sin. That's what the world teaches. Sadly, that's even what some churches teach. Shame on us when we believe such nonsense. And shame on these churches that promote a message that is contrary to the clear word of God. They are embracing death, and the end is eternal destruction, damnation. It is not spiritual ignorance, as if they don't know any better. It is spiritual arrogance, because they think they have better words than God. And when we cling to this nonsense, we are being spiritually arrogant when we think we have better words than God. Did you hear in our Old Testament reading from 2 Samuel? You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that's prideful, to bring them down. God's word is clear. Pride goes before the fall. The ESV has it this way. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Jesus says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The humbling that God is talking about is God's call to repentance. Rather than the attitude which I hear so often inside the church and outside, nobody's going to tell me what to think. Nobody's going to tell me how to live. Nobody's going to tell me. My friends, God's word for today is calling us to repent and to cling to the promises of God. God is warning us, if you think that you can stand before God on your own, you will fall. It's only a matter of time. My friends, God's word for today is good news. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. We stumble and fall. We cling to our own thoughts, our own feelings, our own emotions, our own words. We are full of pride and a haughty spirit. We are unfaithful. But while we are unfaithful, God is faithful. That means he keeps his promises. God punishes sin. We need no more proof of that than Good Friday. We all, like sheep, have gone away, but God has laid on him, Christ, the iniquity of us all. We can be sure and certain of our salvation, not because we are so strong and we won't stumble and fall, but because Christ is strong. And Christ has taken the punishment for sin, your sin and mine, onto himself and into himself. My friends, we can be sure and certain because it is finished, Good Friday. We can be sure and certain because he is risen, Easter Sunday, for you. Forgiveness, life, and salvation has been delivered to you in the waters of holy baptism. You are robed in Christ's righteousness. Christ puts his words in your ears, the words of forgiveness. He puts his body and blood in your mouth. When we are tempted, we know where to turn, not to our own strength, not to our own power, and not to our own words, but to the word of God, which is Jesus Christ and his great love for you. My friends, today, rejoice. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Rejoice that you are in the nail-scarred hands of Jesus and that nothing or no one can snatch you out. Rejoice that while the sin that rages inside of you and comes in attacks outside of you by the devil and the evil world, rejoice that Christ is stronger than your sin and the devil and the world. Hear his word, follow him, and cling to his promises in season and out. And when we get a little too big for our britches, when we think that there is really, really, really something special inside of us and that God should be thankful that we follow him, be thankful also for the word of God, his holy and precious law, that calls us to repentance so that we don't stumble and fall from the faith, so that we can cling ever new, each and every day, to the one and only Savior for sinners like you and me, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, and our confidence in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the word of God and rejoicing in the good news of the gospel, we respond with our thanks and praise and confession of faith as we sing the Te Deum, page 223 and following. Please stand as you're able. We praise you, O God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord, the Father.
We believe.
Again, welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who loves sinners like us, who are prone to stray and fall, that good news would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church, beginning on page 233 with the Kyrie, we stand. 227. On the wrong service.
Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The Lord be with you. Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions, make them to ask such things as please you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your saving gospel. Implant your word in us that, with good and honest hearts, we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Bless the educational endeavors of our congregation, especially our school and preschool beginning classes this week, confirmation beginning also this week, and Sunday school beginning in the weeks to come. Bless all those who teach and all those who learn, that your word may have free course in our midst. Lord, in your mercy, grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to President Trump and the Congress of the United States, Governor Ricketts and the legislature of this state, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure. Quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy, comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially Kay, Barbara, Pearl, Natalie, Noel and Carol, Charlotte, Kristen, Raleigh, Sharon, Celeste, Dell, Jocelyn, Ed, Cindy, Mildred, Anna, Larry, Lyle, Betty, Sherry, Mark, Bonnie, Warren, Ralph, Shelley, Doug, Desi, and the people of Venezuela. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may cry out to you in their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. Lord, in your mercy, out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Lord, in your mercy, these and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May be seated for our closing hymn, number 918. 918.
Again, welcome in the name of Jesus, our surety, our confidence, our certainty, because of his life, death, and resurrection for us. Encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for all the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. We've been having a few different worship inserts over the last few weeks. We'd like your input on that. We've had the Reformation ones all summer long, and we've gotten some really positive feedback on those. The one today is by former pastor at Trinity in Lincoln, Pastor Tooman, so you might want to check that out. We've got some inserts, Kids in the Divine Service, so check those out. And also, we have some study notes for the Christian layperson. They're almost always on the gospel reading for today, but check those out, and we pray that those would be a blessing for you in your spiritual walk. We have coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. You're all invited. We have one opportunity for adult Bible study. We're continuing our look at the formula of concord and the teaching on the Lord's Supper. And today, specifically, we're going to be looking at the communion thesis for the upcoming ACELC banquet, we'll have a banquet too, but the conference that'll be here at Good Shepherd the last week in August. So we'll have some good practical teaching with regard to the Lord's Supper that we'll be looking at on the next three Sundays. So please join us for that. Pastor Marundi is doing a youth Bible study. Is that? Okay, we'll be starting a new Tuesday morning men's Bible study. This Tuesday, we'll be looking at the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, that's 6 a.m., sorry about that, guys, 6 a.m. in room 109 on Tuesday mornings. You're all invited to join us there. Vicar has a new Bible study going on Wednesday nights on Psalm 119. However, this Wednesday, he won't be able to teach. I've been in Montana, so yeah, don't give me that look. Reverend Marcus Williams sends his greetings, by the way. But this came about kind of last minute and last notice, but we have a missionary from Taiwan who will be with us on Wednesday this week. We have a lot of stuff going on Wednesday, but missionary Michael Paul, distant cousin of Good Shepherd member Arnett Garris. That's how he contacted us, that kind of a thing. But anyway, he'll be here Wednesday evening. He's not going to preach because we've got all kinds of other stuff going on, but we'll give him a few minutes at the end of the worship service, and he'll be making a presentation after church on Wednesday night. That's this coming Wednesday. Tuesday is the opening day of school for Good Shepherd School and preschool. We have an opening chapel that will be on Tuesday morning at 8:30. Tuesday morning at 8:30. And chapel every day, school's in session except Wednesdays at 8:15. You're always welcome to join us. Wednesday evening at 5:30, midweek classes start. Last year, we did away with grade designations, so moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, if your kids, you think they're ready to start, bring them and we'll talk. We'll have our opening meeting on Wednesday at 5:30, and then we'll have divine service after that. Okay. Yeah, I think I got everything there. All right. Please join us for coffee and goodies. Oh, one thing I forgot about. You've heard in the news, no doubt, this big eclipse thing that's coming and will be happening slicing through the middle of Nebraska. One of the professors at the St. Louis Seminary has prepared a Bible study. It's more along the lines of adult Bible study, not so much for kids. But we've got copies of that Bible study on the information booth. So check that out, and might be something that you're interested in. The last time we've had eclipse of this significance, you ready for this? 1442. So it's kind of a big deal. All right? Okay. All right. I think that's all. Join us for coffee and goodies and the study of God's Word. Have a great day and week and life in the confidence of Christ our Savior.